or your iPad or your generic phone or pad, and get your Bible out. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're starting chapter 3 in the series Alien Nation, Living as Jesus' Everyday Church. And that's what Peter's been talking to us about, or what the Lord's been talking to us about through Peter, and he's talking to his church and talking to us as well about how do we live for Jesus as his alien nation, as people who are strangers and aliens in this world because we belong to the kingdom of Christ. So Peter's been teaching us how do we live in the everyday as Jesus's church, Jesus's people, so that his kingdom and his glory are seen with our everyday lives. So that's where we're at, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about wives submitting to husbands and husbands lovingly leading their wives today. All right? So remember, I didn't write the mail, I'm just the messenger, okay? Everybody's going to remember that this morning. Before we get going, I do have one announcement on youth, and I'm going to have either Alex or Angela or both. Are you guys here? No, they're not here. they're in the nursery. Well, they're trying to plan a youth trip for the last weekend in August. And so they need to know from you guys who are youth here today, if a little camping, a little overnight camping trip, if you guys are available, number one, and interested, number two. So you need to talk to Alex and Angela before you leave. So I'm putting that all on you guys, junior and senior hires, okay? And there might be some over here, too. I don't know. Okay? Give me a thumbs up. Do something. All right. Thumbs up. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let's look at that together. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's pray as we dig into that passage this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, you said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Lord, these are words that come from your mouth. We believe this book is your word to us. And Lord, we pray that we would have hearts and minds that are ready to receive what you have for us this morning from this passage of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the things that we need to know as we approach the Scriptures is that if we don't understand why something was created by God, how it was designed, what it was designed for, the purpose, then how God designed this world to work is if we don't understand that, understand how things work, it doesn't go well for us. You read the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Apart from having Christ or having God at the center of life, nothing makes sense. It's all meaningless. It's all purposeless. It's all vanity, is what Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so if you think about that, maybe just in a little bit of a humorous way, if my son Tyler, I'm going to pick on Tyler this morning, doesn't know what a toaster is, doesn't understand why it was designed, what its purpose is, and he doesn't understand it's for toast, but he thinks it's a hand warmer, that's trouble. it's going to be trouble in our house and trouble for him and for his life, right? If he thinks a toaster is a hand warmer and he comes home, his hands are cold, he's just been playing soccer in the cold and he's going to get those hands warm and he's using a toaster as a hand warmer, that's just not going to go well for him. And it's the same way with marriage. If we don't understand why God, it's God's idea and how God created marriage and what role he has for the husband and what role he has for the wife within a marriage relationship that is honoring and Christ-centered, then it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. And so Peter is talking in this whole section about how do we live set-apart lives to Christ's kingdom in glory in this dark and decaying world. That is the question that Peter has been exploring with his faith community in this letter. So how are we supposed to live as Jesus' everyday church, living as salt and light for his kingdom and glory as we await his return? So he's talked about being subject to the governing authorities for Jesus' and the gospel's sake. He has talked about us as Jesus' church being servants to those the Lord has placed in authority over us in this world, being willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, being illustrated to others by our Christ-centered rather than self-centered lives. And now Peter's going to address how living together as loving servants of Christ Jesus our Lord in our marriages illustrates the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ for the world to see. So two of the Bible's most basic teachings on marriage are, one, that it has been instituted by God. It was God's idea that a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. That's God's idea. It wasn't society's idea. It wasn't come about because it's a better way. It was God's original intention for men and for women to be bound together as husband and wife and to form families. And so that's the first thing. And second, marriage was designed to be a reflection of the saving love of God for us in Jesus Christ. Marriage, how husbands and wives treat each other within a marriage relationship, is meant to be a reflection of the saving love of God for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the gospel helps us to understand marriage, and marriage helps us to understand the gospel. This is what Paul teaches in Ephesians 5. The wife's faithful submission to her husband reflects how the church submits to Christ. And how we as Jesus' people show love to our Lord Jesus Christ is by humbly and gladly submitting to his loving leadership of our lives, following after him and trusting him with everything we have. The husband's loving leadership towards his wife reflects how Jesus Christ loves his church people by giving himself up for our good and leading us with love as his body and bride in this world. So marriage is meant to reflect to the world the loving relationships that exist within the Trinity and that we now as his people live within, where there's submission within the Godhead. Jesus and the Spirit submit to the Father. The Spirit submits to the Father and to the Son. The Holy Spirit is never about exalting himself. It's always about exalting Jesus. Always. He's glad to be in the background. And so that relationship that the Godhead has, Father, Son, and Spirit, gets reflected in how a godly, Christ-centered marriage works so that people can see and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and his great grace and love that he's bestowed on sinners like us. All right, you need all that to get us going here this morning. So when Peter says, likewise, wives, be subject or submissive to your own husbands, and likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, he's going back to the instructions that he's had to our lives under governing authorities and our lives under workplace or societal masters that are over us in the Lord, as we submit to them, so we are also to be submitted, wives to husbands, and husbands showing love and working for the good of their wives in everything. So, as Jesus' alien nation, citizens of heaven on earth, we are called to live together in marriage, showing the saving love of God for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's take a look at the specifics here. So first section here, we're going to talk about submissive, respectful wives. What does this mean? Being submissive or subject to your husbands means that a wife will willingly submit, a Christian wife will willingly submit to her husband's authority and leadership in their marriage. Willingly submit. Just like Jesus willingly submitted himself to the Father in the plan to leave the glories of heaven and to come to earth to serve us. So a wife is called to reflect that same attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ in a marriage relationship. So let's dig in just a little bit to that. So likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands so that... Well, let me just stop there, because that's where we're going to start. We are not our own, the Bible teaches us over and over again as believers and followers of Christ. We have been bought at the price of Jesus' life and death, where he humbled himself in obedience to the Father, even unto death on the cross, Philippians 2 tells us. Therefore, we are to glorify God, glorify Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And that applies to wives and that applies to husbands. The love of Christ controls us. Therefore, we are the people in this world who no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and for our sake rose on our behalf. Another way to say this is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and our lives, every aspect, every circumstance, every relationship, are lived in glad-hearted submission and obedience to him and in loving others in his name. So in gospel-centered marriage, each partner no longer lives for himself or herself, but for Christ and for the other. So what does it mean that wives are supposed to be subject or submissive to their own husbands? Being submissive or subject to your husband means that a wife, again, willingly submits to her husband's authority and leadership in the marriage. It means making a choice to affirm her husband as leader within the limits of obedience to Christ and his word. This includes an attitude that honors him as a leader, even when she disagrees with him. The word submit or subject in the Greek is a military term. I know we have a number of military people right here, right now, right? It's a military term in the Greek, and it denotes a soldier submitting to an officer. Why? Why does the Lord choose to use this military term to refer to how wives are related to their husbands? Because when you join the military, you lose control, right? You lose control over your schedule. You lose control about when you eat, when you take a vacation, when you do whatever, because you've submitted yourselves to the Army, Navy, Air Force in our case, and you've submitted yourself to officers who are now above you and have authority over you. That's what is being said here. Peter's teaching married couples that this ability to deny your own rights, to serve not yourself but your husband, and put the good of the marriage over your own good is the very foundation of gospel-centered marriage. We only find our real self by giving up ourself, the Bible teaches. Jesus said, those who want to save their life must lose it. Those who lose their life will find life. If you lose your life for Jesus' sake in the Gospels, you actually find life. In willingly being willing to submit your hearts and your to your husbands, you are showing what it means for us to submit, all of us, our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an illustration, it's a picture of the gospel and how we respond to authority. When wives live this way under God-given authority of their husbands, they will find their life is the promise that the Lord gives to you, women. You'll find your life. You'll find your calling. That is what the Bible teaches. Why? So that, I love this passage, why should wives be submissive? Peter says, so that even if some of their husbands do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. This is an amazing passage which talks about the power of living with gospel humility before others. Not just to husband and wife, this applies across the board to all of us. It's an amazing promise. By a wife's submissive attitude to her husband, the unbelieving husband may be won to Christ without her saying a word. That's what Peter's saying. The application is not just for women who have unbelieving husbands. Those who have believing husbands, when they willingly and respectfully submit to those husbands, illustrate the gospel to other Christians, to unsaved neighbors, to workmates, etc., who the Lord may also be pleased to bring to Christ through this gospel illustration of how Jesus lived. Remember, it's all about him. It's all about pointing people to Jesus. And if somebody says, why do you live submissive to your husband? That guy's an idiot. That's what the word actually means in the, well, we get it from the Greek. I told Chris Baer, I maybe shouldn't even say this, but what it says, obey, submit to your own husbands. The word own is idiosyncratic to yourself. We get the word idiot from it. So I've heard R.C. Sproul say, wives, submit to your own idiot husbands. You don't have to submit to somebody else's idiot husband, but you do have to submit to your own. But even if... So somebody might ask you, why do you live that way? Why don't you exert your rights? Why don't you go after it? And you're able to say, because Jesus gave up all his rights to come and serve me and to save me. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life up as a ransom for many. That's how we reflect Christ. That's how wives can reflect Christ in a powerful way in this world. That's my testimony. I have a Timothy testimony. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks about how Timothy came to faith in Christ through his grandmother Eunice and through his mother, who were godly women. In the midst of apparently maybe having husbands who didn't believe in God. And my testimony is my grandmother and my mother were godly women like this who demonstrated with their lives loving submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and to their husbands. That was a powerful testimony of the gospel of God's amazing grace in Christ Jesus our Lord to me as a young man, a young boy growing up in the house I grew up in and in the and getting together with big family gatherings where my grandmother just served everybody and she enjoyed it. Never a complaint. She loved being a servant. And that's what the Lord in part used to bring me to himself. Powerful testimony of a submissive, humble woman. And so to think that that's demeaning, then you don't understand what Christ did for you or for me. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So how does this look? Peter goes on and gives a little bit more instruction. How do wives submit? What does it look like? He says, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And then he goes on to say, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. He goes on now, he's talking about this respectful and pure conduct, and he's describing what it looks like here in this passage. I saw firsthand, again, in my grandmother and my mother, over time in their lives, their respectful, reverent, pure, and pure means single-minded devotion. That's what pure means. It's a single-minded devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ and single-minded devotion to their husbands. I saw that over time, but I also had illustrations in my family and my life of the opposite, of disrespectful, irreverent, and impure, which is a single-minded devoted to yourself. That's what it means to be impure. Selfishness. In other wives and mothers, some of whom claim to know and follow Jesus Christ as Lord. So Peter talks about this true beauty of a godly, Christ-like woman. He says, do not let your adorning be external. So what does this kind of external adorning bring glory to? If you're about only, and don't hear what I'm not saying, it's okay to fix your hair up nice, women. It's okay to put on jewelry. It's okay to have clothing. But what's more important is what's your heart attitude in those things. That's what Peter's getting at. If your heart attitude in those things is to bring attraction to yourself and to bring glory to yourself, that's the issue. You have a heart issue going on because it's about you and not about Jesus Christ. So this type of external adorning brings glory to who? It brings glory to self, not to the Lord Jesus. But if your adorning is merely external and meant to entice men with your beauty and to get glory from men, then you need to check your heart, is what Peter's saying. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is precious. So this is the opposite of the external focus of the heart. Now he's talking about the internal focus of where your heart's at, women. Is it a gentle and quiet spirit? Let's take that apart for just a second. A gentle spirit. It's being submissive to your husband as a woman means being gentle. The Greek word here is translated gentle in the adjective form is only found three times in the New Testament. Guess who two of those times it refers to? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. His meekness. Philippians 2, 3 through 5, talking about the humility of Christ, the meekness, the gentleness of Jesus. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind, this mindset, this attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's ours in Christ Jesus. Now that's for all of us, men and women. In specific now, it's being applied to women here. But that's the mind of Christ. It's this humble servant's attitude that we're all supposed to have. And that husbands have, it just comes out in a different way towards their wives. But for wives, it comes across as being submissive and respectful to the husband's God-given authority and position that God has given him. So that's the word gentle. The idea of gentleness or meekness, the noun version of that word, occurs well a lot of times in the New Testament. And it means this: not demanding one's own way, not insistent upon one's own rights, not pushy or self-assertive. That's what it means to be gentle. This kind of gentle spirit will be beautiful before others, even and especially before non-believing husbands. And got young guys that are in this room today that aren't married, this is what you're looking for if you're looking for a godly woman. Nobody's perfect. My mom and my grandmother weren't perfect. Well, you think your mom's perfect, but is that in their heart? Is that at least a pattern in their life? And that's what we'll get at here. The quiet spirit part, it does not murmur against God because of circumstances, because of the lousy husband he's given me, because of whatever. This quiet spirit does not murmur against God, but rather exhibits confident trust in Jesus' sovereign shepherding and overseeing of her life. Those are characteristics, young men that aren't married, that you're looking for in a wife. This type of spirit is of great worth in God's sight. Why? Because it shows the wives continual trust and confidence in God as her Father in heaven, who will supply her needs, protect her soul, and keep her spiritually safe within her marriage. She is free thereby to serve and not be served in her role as a Christ-centered wife and mother. And then Peter goes on to say, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Do you see how it's how you respond to your husband shows whether or not you truly trust your sovereign God to be guiding and directing your life, even through who your husband is and how your husband is leading right now. We're getting to husbands next, guys. Wait a second. We're coming. Sarah obeyed Abraham. Submission always involves obedience. Submission to her husband's authority, as shown by her willingness to follow his leadership, shows the world that she hopes in God. That is, trusts God with her future. Hope is always about the future. Trusts God with her future rather than trusting in herself, even as she follows the leadership of Abraham in her life as her husband. She submits to her husband's God-given authority over her without fear that it will be harmful to her well-being or personhood. For Sarah, following Abraham had meant trusting God in uncertain, unpleasant, and even dangerous situations. You remember? You remember some of that? Remember, it did it twice. If you go through at least twice, Abraham tells Sarah, calls her his sister instead of his wife. And she goes to a foreign dignitary and a king, and Abraham tells her, just tell him you're my sister. And that happens twice. And then Isaac does the same thing. And it was wrong. But she wasn't ultimately entrusting herself to her husband. She was trusting herself to the Lord, her God and her Savior, to be sovereign over her life, even in those bad decisions by her husband. That's what Peter's pointing at. So women who do good and do not fear in marriage are Sarah's children. They're faithful to God in that relationship if they do what is good and do not give way to fear. Again, these words are present tense with ongoing action and therefore indicate a way or a pattern of life that Sarah had. Now, Sarah did disobey God numerous times as you read the book of Genesis. As a wife, and these things are obviously not to be imitated. That's why Peter says doing what is good as a pattern of life. And right, it is Sarah's pattern of life of submitting to her husband and trusting God with her future, which are being commended by Peter. And that's what he wants us to know this morning. A woman with a gentle and quiet spirit who continues hoping in God will not be terrified by circumstances or by an unbelieving or disobedient husband. So what submission to a husband does not mean, I got just seven quick things and we're going into the guys. Submission does not mean putting a husband before Christ, ever. Submission for a wife does not mean giving up independent thought. Being submissive does not mean, it means you want to share your ideas with your husband. You want to share things with him. Submission does not mean a wife should not seek to respectfully influence or guide her husband. Submission does not mean a wife should give in to every demand of her husband. Submission does not mean being fearful or timid. Submission is not based on lesser intelligence, competence, or worth. And submission is not inconsistent with your equality in Christ. And Peter's going to bring that up in just a second as he talks to the guys. All right, so that's Peter's instruction to the women. Submissive, respectful wives, glorify God and show the gospel of the love of God to others, especially to their husbands. The second, the guys. Loving leading husbands. That's what I'm entitling this little one-verse thing. And we'll get into it here just in the last couple minutes. What does loving leadership look like? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's take that apart. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Another translation would say according to knowledge. The knowledge Peter means here includes any knowledge beneficial to the husband-wife relationship. Guys, you are called to be loving servant leaders of your wives and of your families. That means you need to know your wife better than you know any person on the planet. That's what Peter's saying. God's purposes and principles for marriage, we need to know that. We need to understand that. We need to understand our role as loving, leading husbands. We need to understand the wife's desires, her goals, gifts, her strengths and weaknesses, her frustrations, her emotional, physical, and spiritual weaknesses. Husbands, our godly leadership in our homes is about giving up ourselves for the good of our wives and families. We lay it all down in order to serve them with the love of Christ. So the way Christ loves you and me as guys, as men, as husbands, He loves us as His people, laying down His life for us to protect and provide for us what we need, spiritually speaking, for our eternal good. That's our role as husbands who want to honor Christ with our lives. We need to be students of our wives, men, knowing them better than we know anyone else on this planet. We need to protect and provide for them so that they will grow up in Christ to be the godly women that He designed them to be. Not to shape them into the shape we want them to be. It's never about that. This knowledge, living according to knowledge, this knowledge comes and grows only as the husband is in the word and in prayer, because it's knowledge that has to come to us from the Lord. And it's an attitude of humble servant leadership and love for our lives, willing to give up our lives from the Lord, that only comes to us as we're abiding in Christ. We can't do this, guys. We know that. This isn't natural, as Nolan was talking about. We got to stay connected to the Spirit and to the Lord and to His Word and in prayer, truly seeking to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. And what kind of love is that? It's a self-giving, self-sacrificing love, not a self-centered or demanding love. Showing honor to the woman, Peter says. Kind and affirming words and actions in private and in public. Nothing ticks me off more than when guys run down their wives with other guys. Guys, we got to give her, we give our wives the highest human priority in terms of time, allocation of time, allocation of money, allocation of our emotional and spiritual energy. She gets the lion's share. That's what Peter's saying. That's what means showing honor to her. It is clear to those, is it clear to those to you, those closest to you, that your wife is your best friend? Is that clear to others, guys? Is that clear to your kids? Do you treat her as a co-heir with Christ and a true partner in following Christ with your life together and with your life of your family? Is she a true partner in that? Ask those closest to you if you want to know. Let them be honest about their perception of the way you treat your wife. He calls, Peter says, they're the weaker vessel or partner. And hear this for what it is. Peter is saying she's more vulnerable to exhaustion, being hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually. You got to know that. And you got to be there for her. Especially, she's more, if you're a selfish, domineering husband, she is deserving of love, loving, honoring treatment because she is a joint heir of the grace of life and thus your partner in gospel ministry. That is why, men, if we do not love them in this way, as Christ loves and leads the church, giving ourselves up for them and their eternal good, honoring them and living with them as full partners in the life the Lord, in our life, the Lord will not hear our prayers, and He will pull back from His fellowship with us. Why? Because God always opposes the proud husband, but gives grace to the humble husband. If you're in it to be served rather than to serve, you will not receive anything in answer to prayer from the Lord. Period. And you don't understand the gospel and how Jesus has given up His life for you and continues to give up His life to sanctify you and to conform you to His image. So a husband's considerate honoring leadership of his wife does not mean harsh, abusive, or domineering use of authority ever. Ever. It does not imply equal sharing of leadership in the home. He needs to be the leader. He is the leader, but he's a loving leader. and he's working for their good. I've never known a wife to complain if her husband is truly being a spiritual leader of their relationship and of their family. Never. They will gladly submit to that. That's what they want if they're godly women. A husband's considerate, honoring leadership of his wife does not imply lesser importance for a wife. It does not mean always giving in to a wife's wishes. Sometimes we working for people's good means we say no, or but we do it in a kind and gentle and loving and explain it. It's never a do what I say, woman, just because I said it. That attitude is never right in a marriage. Ever. And this, a husband's considerate, honoring, loving leadership of his wife is not optional for us as husbands. If you don't know the wife I have, it doesn't matter. That's like Peter when Jesus at the end reinstates him after he's been raised from the dead and says to Peter, you know, follow me, and he said, you're going to die for my sake. You're going to be crucified upside down. I mean, he tells Peter he's going to die in his following of Christ. And then Peter immediately goes, well, what about John? Is he going to die too, or does he get this? And Jesus said, well, what is it to you if he stays alive until I come back? You follow me. You follow me. That's what he's saying to all of us guys this morning. Be. We can only do it as we're abiding in him, as he's abiding in us. Lead our families, love our families as Christ loves his church. That's a marriage that's going to illustrate to the whole world what the gospel's all about, and give you plenty of opportunities to share the gospel. Go down to, if you have your notes, your outline, I'm just going to end with this, just the quote from Everyday Church. I've been going over this quite a bit. And I think this really sums up what Peter's saying in the big picture to us as his people, as his church in this world. Mission by being good neighbors, good workers, and good family members. That is what Peter, and more importantly, the Lord, calls us to. In particular, Peter calls us to a distinctive attitude toward others. We live in a culture where it is all about me, my rights, my pleasure, my fulfillment. God's people have an altogether different motto. It's not about me. It's about God and others and serving them in the name of Jesus Christ, I would add. That makes a profound difference when we enter the public square or the workplace or the home. Get that settled in your hearts. Whether you're men or women in this place, it doesn't matter. Get that settled. Life isn't about you or me. Life's not about my pleasure or my self-fulfillment or my rights or my self-esteem. Life's about Jesus Christ, knowing him, honoring him, living in humble, dependent trust in him. That's what faith is. Faith biblically is defined as humble, dependent, not independent, humble, dependent trust in Jesus Christ in everything, including in our marriages. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of glad-hearted obedience, the role that the Lord has given to wives within marriage and the role that the Lord has given to husbands. It ultimately is a matter of whether or not I'm going to submit myself to Jesus Christ as Lord of my marriage, or whether I'm not. That's the issue. So I pray for all of you. If you want the fulfillment that God designed into the marriage relationship, this is the blueprint. This is the blueprint. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for knitting not only us together individually in our mother's wombs, but to, I really believe you bring men and women together to be husband and wife, especially those who are in Christ, who know Jesus. And you then tell us to live in this beautiful gospel illustrating way where wives gladly submit to the loving and kind leadership of their husbands, and husbands leave in a loving and kind way. And Lord, it says something about who you are, Lord Jesus, and how you treat us in the everyday with grace and love and mercy. That is what's supposed to come out of our marriage relationship as well. And there also is, again, within that Godhead, there is submission to the plan of the Father by both you, Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit. Even though you're fully God, you're co-equal and co-eternal as God, Father, Son, and Spirit, but yet you have roles to play in order to be one and to be united and to be accomplishing the purposes that you have to accomplish in your world. And so, Lord, may husbands and wives and families live that way as well, all for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name.